When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Mobile phone companies say they offer home internet. But if their internet comes from a cell phone network, you should know. It's just phone internet, not home internet. Keep your home up to speed with Cox. Cox internet is faster and has more reliable download speeds than 5G home internet. Cox is the real home internet you're looking for. Based on Cox analysis of Ookla Speedtest Intelligence data, Q3 2022, and Cox serviceable areas, visit cox.com/internet for details.
Welcome to A Celtic State of Mind. I'm Paul John Dykes, and as always on a Thursday, I'm delighted to be joined by John Paul Mason. How's it going, JP?
It's going good. It's been a lot to digest in the world of Celtic in the last week, I suppose, so we shall do that to our best efforts.
We will. Today. You talk about digest. What about digestives? Digestive biscuits. You are drinking out a mug and you've got a space for a couple in the mouth of Jaws. That is some mug, by the way. It looks a lot bigger. That's probably because of that space down the bottom. I'm guessing it's just a general sized mug. I love a mug.
I think it is. It was a gift from my friend Scott, who is a Livingston fan, and there's he sent me that. In fact, I'll read out his text. Here you go.
Was he at the game? Was he one of the eight fans that was at the game?
I don't know. He never said if he was at the game, but to be fair to him, he does go to a lot of the games. He's a season ticket holder. His son is now on a contract as a keeper at Livingston, which, Scott's been a Livingston fan since the inception of Livingston. 94, I think it was, when they became Livingston after Meadowbank Thistle. But he sent me a text where they said, "What a horrible game last night. Martindale goes with a game plan to defend and gives us the patter. He doesn't go with the intention to defend, then changes the whole team to a setup we never play. We had three young lads on the bench who had been playing great and are offensive that would have given us a fighting chance. Didn't get a sniff. Granted, I think the outcome would have been the same, but you've got to have a bit of balls or testicular fortitude."
Indeed, copyright John Hughes. Love that. Yeah. That's interesting to get a Livingston's perspective on it. And, you know, with regards to last night, there's loads to discuss. But I'm going to start with the captain, right? I think there's a few players in this team, JP, who it would be easy not to discuss after the game, for example, because they just give solid, consistent performances. And one of those players, I guess, is Callum McGregor. Now, after the game last night, I came in this morning to some comments on the YouTube saying that we were negative. I honestly do not understand that take on our post-match last night. We weren't being negative. Absolutely not. I'm not taking that. There was no negativity in the post-match last night. We were all absolutely delighted, myself, Kevin and Laura, and quite buoyant at, once again, a completely controlled, dominant performance, and we spoke all about that. So I don't really know or understand where that comment comes from. I think some people are determined to be unimpressed and look for negativity where there is none, because there was no negativity last night.
I listened to the post-match. I never heard any negativity. I heard there was quite a effusive, I don't know how you want to say it, an effusive praise. There was effusive praise from Laura about Ange Postecoglou, saying that he was potentially the best manager in her lifetime.
Exactly.
Which makes you pause for thought. It will always be Martin O'Neill for me, purely because of the timing of it and everything else, and what he brought to us and what we've been missing for so long. Because the Janssen season aside, we hadn't won the league since since the 80s. So I think just for the impact on him to me and to so many other people at that time, I think it's very hard to shift him from top spot. But Ange, I don't know what's going on outside, by the way, so apologies for the noise.
It's normally sirens.
It is normally sirens, yeah, but today it seems to be, I don't know.
I have no idea
what's going on. But, I think Martin O'Neill takes the top spot, but Postecoglou is definitely rapidly propping him up.
No, you're right. You look at O'Neill, and by the way, we will be talking about this when Martin O'Neill joins me on stage at the end of this month. JP, obviously, you'll meet him that night. You've met him a couple of times already. But when he took over at Celtic, we had gone through a period where there was one, like you quite rightly said, one league championship win in the 90s. One league win. He came in, completely transformed it. But the show last night, the post-match, was more or less dedicated to the impact and the change in culture that Ange had implemented at Celtic Park in such a short space of time. In terms of the action on the field, we spoke a lot about that at halftime because obviously all three goals were in the first half, and we didn't really want to be repeating that. So the big focus after the game last night was about Ange, and quite rightly so. But I do want to touch on Callum McGregor, because if you've been tuning into Axon, I love Celtic history, JP, just like yourself. Don't see myself as a historian. Absolutely not a historian. Historians are guys like Patrick Woods and Tom Campbell, who have forgotten more about Celtic than I will ever know. I'm not a historian, but I love the history, and I look at the 500 club quite a lot. Those 12 players, JP, who have made 500 or more appearances competitively for Celtic. Sadly, someone like Jimmy McGrory is not in that list. And there's probably an argument to say, well, in his time, competitive games included the Glasgow Cup, the Glasgow Charities Cup. They're no longer deemed competitive games. So it's really only the League Cup, the Scottish Cup games that are counted. And I think that's unfair, especially for a player like Jimmy McGrory, who scored more than 500 goals, never mind played 500 games. But the one player, in fact, there are two players in the squad who look to be entering this in their Celtic careers, are James Forrest and Callum McGregor. So McGregor got his jersey presented to him before the game last night, didn't he, by Ange, with the 400 on it. He's made 400 appearances. He's now made 401. And my big question around that, JP, is where can he take this? How far can he climb up that chart? So I was looking at the chart, right? Because this is modern day legend status. I mean, the guy sitting at number 12 in the 500 club is Tommy Burns. I'm going to bring this up on my phone here. So Tommy Burns, right, the late great Tommy, is in that list. He's got 503 appearances. It's then Jimmy Johnston, Jimmy McMenemy, Bobby Evans, Bobby Lennox, Scott Brown, Alec McNair, Pat Bonner, Danny McGrain, Roy Aiken, Paul McStay, Billy McNeil. So, you know, virtue of being in that list, JP, I'm going to put my neck on the chopping block and say, if you're in that list, you're a Celtic legend. Will you give me that?
I mean, absolutely, no doubt. You think about what he's already done in his Celtic career. He's been there from youth level. Okay, he went out on loan for a bit, but it wasn't for long. And he's come back and he's taken over from a captain and someone that we, I guess we were all, I remember we had a conversation about, by the way, how bad is that noise? Because I can.
It's not too bad. It's not too bad. It's not picking it up.
Really annoying me, but that's an aside. I remember we talked about when Ange Postecoglou was coming in, who would get to be the captain. And we were talking about, would we go out and buy recruit a ready-made captain? Mm-hmm. I suppose in the same way that Aberdeen did with Anthony Stewart, where they went out and just got somebody who had no influence in the dressing room, no experience at the club, and made him captain. And look how that's ended up. He's ended up leaving halfway through the season to go on loan to MK Dons.
I know.
And that doesn't really smack of seniority or influence in any way. So I think that to take on the captaincy of Celtic from Scott Brown, fair enough, obviously him and Scott Brown were pals and they were close in the dressing room and played together regularly. To still to take that on and to do it and to take us through that season, last season, where it wasn't win or bust, but we've said it many times, although the odds were against us, we kind of had to win the league last season to stop any sort of momentum being gained mm-hmm. by our rivals.
Yeah.
And, it could have happened. It could definitely have happened. It could have been a successful season for them. They might have won a European trophy and won the league. I mean, imagine the parallel universe of that. But they didn't, and Callum McGregor was right at the front, leading the pack of a brand new team, effectively. Mm-hmm. So he was setting the standards for these guys that have come in, and every single one of them that does these little interviews with Celtic, Alistair Johnston did it this morning, where they'd laid out all the kind of player cards from, I don't know, I'm not au fait with what they actually are. That some sort of, is it maybe FIFA or something like that? But
right,
he was asked to pick up, you know, that best trainer and the biggest joker and things like that. All the time when they do these things with new players, they always say the best trainer is Callum McGregor, and he sets the standards. He comes in and he trains each day as if it's his first day at training for Celtic, which surely rubs off on the other players, and there's a guy there that they instantly look up to, and I'm sure he probably feels a bit weird that he's like now considered a senior player. I remember somebody said in the press conference the other day to Jota, you're one of the old guard now, and he was like, no, I'm not one of the old guard. He was like, that's Callum and others. He was like, I'm still young. So McGregor is the senior figure in the dressing room.
Yeah.
Again, it's quite weird to me as well, because he still feels like a youngster to me.
See, when you get to our age, JP, so I'm going to lump you into my age category. And you see players, you actually see players coming through and having their entire career at Celtic, you know, and that's what we're having with Callum McGregor. And I'm trying to establish whether I've experienced that before. Have I seen a player who was a one club man? Because obviously he was only at loan at Notts County, you know, he's still a one club man. Have I actually seen a player breaking through into the Celtic side, play his entire football career with Celtic, and then finish his career with Celtic? I don't think I have. Scott Brown isn't in that category because we signed him. You know what I mean? And I'm thinking, well, Paul McStay, I wasn't going to the games in 1983. I think it was 83 when he made his debut. I certainly wasn't going. By the time I started watching Celtic, McStay was established. He was still young, but he was established. I've not seen a player. I really cannot think, JP, of a player who's come through the ranks, done that whole thing. And I'm thinking of the testimonials in recent times. Jackie Mack, who signed on from the Pars. Bruni, obviously, was signed off the Hibs. I think McGregor, Forrest could be the first two. And that's bizarre.
It's bizarre, but it's also pretty great, because I do think there was maybe a time when Callum McGregor could have moved to a Premier League team, and maybe that was in his thought process at some point. And I'm sure it was in McStay's thought process at some point. Like, people will rightly champion the fact that he was a one club man. You're not going to tell me that when there was interest from Arsenal and Man United and Inter Milan, of which it was real interest, it wasn't it wasn't pie in the sky stuff, it was real. You're not going to try and tell me that he didn't think about that for a minute or two and consider it. I wouldn't blame him if he did, because at that point in time, a player like McStay going to a Man United or an Arsenal or an Inter would have been massive. Like, that would have been one of the biggest transfers that sort of British football had ever seen at that time, because players just didn't leave Celtic to go to clubs of that level. I mean, they didn't, did they? Especially not a struggling Celtic team that were not winning the league. You know, because this was probably like early 90s that he was being linked with a move. I'm sure it was when I was on holiday in Tenerife. I mentioned this before, and the guy next to me at the beach saw my Celtic shorts and said, "He's just signed a new contract, wee man." And I celebrated it because I thought he was leaving.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's a few things around that. McStay, now that he's came into the conversation, he's part of this list, and I'm going to get to my point eventually. But Paul McStay, I did an audience with Willie McStay. I'd done a couple of gigs with Willie, and this was a fundraiser in Falkirk. I forget the name of the pub, but it was owned or run by an uncle or auntie of, or both, of Liam McGrandall's. So anybody who's from the area will know the name of the pub. I forget it. So apologies for that. And we did this night with Willie, and he spoke quite candidly about Paul McStay and the interest, JP, because at that time, Paul was launching his autobiography around about that time. He'd done a video release and all that stuff, and it just never came to fruition, which is a shame, because I think it's one of those books, along with John Clark's, Fergus McCann's, and even Henrik Larsson's, that I think needs to be written at some point. And McStay, Willie, what Willie said about Paul McStay was that, yeah, there was a lot of Italian interest. So there was Inter Milan, like you said. There was, I think, earlier on, Juventus wanted him as well. That was maybe more kind of late 80s. And Everton. Now, it's not the Everton that we have today. It's an Everton side who won the English League a couple of times in the late 80s, who were a European force at that time, and they were interested in buying Paul McStay as well. But I also remember that time that you're talking about, where he finally signs the new contract, and it kind of rolled on for ages, and he plays a game, and I think it was against Hibs, where he takes his jersey off, JP, and he runs over to the jungle, and he throws his jersey into the jungle, and you think, that's it, McStay's gone, he's not going to sign this new contract. Lo and behold, he did, and he comes back. And like yourself, looking back on it, I love the fact that he stayed with Celtic. However, had he gone elsewhere, it would have been interesting to see where and how he would have fared. I've always asked players that played alongside Paul McStay, could he have played at any level? And every one of them are in no doubt that he could have gone to Italy, he could have gone down to England, he could have played at that level. But the list of clubs are probably even more than we're aware of. And all this kind of stuff was going to be revealed in his book, which to date has not been released. Now, there's a couple of wee things about Callum McGregor. You're talking about, you know, the sliding doors thing. I remember doing an interview with someone, and it's on the Axon channel way back, who was involved in the coaching of the youth set up at Celtic at the time that Callum McGregor basically looked as though he was on his way out of Celtic. And there was an offer from Carlisle that I think Celtic wanted 300 grand from, JP. I think that was the figure. And Carlisle could only offer 50 grand less, and Celtic refused, and he didn't go. Now, can you imagine, as a 19 or 20-year-old, Callum McGregor going to Carlisle on a permanent deal, and we're not having this conversation? He's turned into, as I say, a legendary Celt. Now, that's Ange Postecoglou's words as well. So the point I was going to make is, right, he's made 401 appearances, and I'm thinking, right, he's 29.
Mobile phone companies say they offer home internet. But if their internet comes from a cell phone network, you should know. It's just phone internet, not home internet. Keep your home up to speed with Cox. Cox Internet is faster and has more reliable download speeds than 5G home internet. Cox is the real home internet you're looking for. Based on Cox analysis of Ookla Speedtest Intelligence data, Q3 2022, and Cox serviceable areas, visit cox.com/internet for details.
Where in this list do you think he can get to? So I was looking at Scott Brown, and I thought, will he make 619 appearances for Celtic? So the only way you can kind of do it is he's played, not counting this season, he's played 8 full seasons for Celtic, right? And if you look at the 8 full seasons, he averages 47 games. But if you look at the last 5 seasons, he averages 53 games a season. So in order to beat Scott Brown, he would need to play at the level that he's played at over the last 5 seasons for another 4 seasons. He would be 33. So that's doable, right? And if he does that, he's going to be up there in, let me see, 7th position behind Alec McNair, who played for Celtic for 21 years, right? And if he's to top that, which seems unthinkable, right, because Billy McNeil has made more appearances than anybody else ever competitively in a Celtic jersey. If he's to top that list, he would need to play at the level that he's played at over the last 5 seasons for another 7 seasons, including this season, by the way, which would make him 36. Now, Scott Brown played until he was 36. So it is possible, however unlikely it is possible, JP. What do you think? Do you think it's doable? Do you think you'll do that? Can he? I mean, 7 seasons at Callum McGregor levels is a lot to ask, you've got to say.
Before I give you the answer, I'm going to need this sound outside. Whatever roadworks is going on right now on Maryhill Road is so loud at my end. I'm going to go and get a pair of headphones to try and cancel it out.
No problem at all. I'll chat to the commenters while you do that. What do you think? No problem. What do you think? Could Callum McGregor conceivably, and this is a player who made his Celtic debut for the first team as a 21-year-old. A lot of the guys that you look at here, I remember Paul McStay was 17 when he made his debut. He went on to make 677 appearances. Roy Aiken was 16 at the time, the youngest ever Celtic player to make his competitive debut, still at school, and he went on to make 672 appearances. But Danny McGrain, who is in fourth place with 663, he was actually 20 when he made his debut for Celtic. He wasn't one of these guys who made it 17, 18, like Dalglish, etc., who were his contemporaries. Good afternoon to Joe Hamilton. It's great to see you involved in the comments section again. You're watching on YouTube. Always an absolute pleasure. And we've got Celtic follower coming in. Again, looks like you enjoy your tea out a big Celtic mug. Afternoon all, good result last night. Thought it was funny, Peter Grant saying VAR was looking to see if Joe Hart was offside. I like Granty. I really do. I really like Granty. I love the fact that he never mentions that he was involved in the early development of Matt O'Reilly either. He keeps that one quiet. The Urban Culture. 3 days away from this, I wondered where you'd been. Thank God it's Axon time. It's always a pleasure to see the regulars tuning in to the Daily Bulletin. The Daily Bulletin is going to stay where it is. It's going nowhere. 12:30 for 1 hour a day, we'll talk Celtic. We are going to introduce other broadcasts and video content onto the channel, but you can rest assured the 12:30 is going to stay. The Urban Culture, Peter Grant was actually quite good last night. I do love Granty. I love the fact that he still calls St Mirren Stadium Love Street. I love that. How you doing, JP? Are you?
I got headphones, I plugged them in, and I had them on as I had them plugged in behind the computer, but for some reason they weren't picking up your patter, so I'll just have to make do.
I wish I had some patter. Lloyd Jepson, good afternoon to you, and afternoon to Danielle. It is tremendous to see the regulars and the new viewers tuning in. Daniel, this is going to be one of the main topics of conversation. Greg Taylor is truly something else this season. Him and Hatate have strolled it, because I do believe that, talking about the aforementioned Peter Grant, who of course was a teammate of many of those players in the top 500, the 500 club rather, JP. Granty, I was speaking to him at the beginning of the season, and I did actually say on the radio when I chatted to Peter Grant, I felt that Hatate was going to be the main man. I thought he was going to be the main man this season, and it would appear that he definitely is up there. But back to that little query, that theory even, that I threw at you, JP. How far can Callum McGregor take it, do you think?
I mean, depends on how his body copes with the rigors of Scottish football over the next few seasons if he does stick about. I would have thought that maybe he has made the decision to be a one club man, but there might still be a move in there at some point. It would be very strange if it happened, but I don't think any of us ever envisaged seeing Scott Brown in an Aberdeen strip. So I wouldn't rule anything out on that front, but I would like to think that if he did go, it wouldn't be, I don't know, I definitely would like to see him play for another Scottish team. That would be bizarre. But if he wanted to go and get some sun on his back somewhere at some point at 33, 34, I don't think anybody could really begrudge that for him. But I don't know, I'm just enjoying the fact that he's playing in a successful Celtic team, and he's clearly happy with the players around about him and the way that the manager wants the team to play, because that's ultimately what will keep anybody about that has any slight desires of playing anywhere else. If they're happy where they're at and they're in the position that he's in, where he's racking up records of appearances and trophy haul as well. Let's not forget that, the amount of trophies he's won.
I think he's on 17.
And the current format, it was read out on BBC Scotland that's our 12th victory this season at Celtic Park, and we're 42 games undefeated at Celtic Park.
It's an outstanding record.
42 games. It's mental. So,
was the last game that horrible game against St Mirren when they beat us 2-0? Was that the last time they got beat at Celtic Park? Remember when
that was away. Oh, do you mean? Oh God, right in the Neil Lennon
season.
Yeah,
I think that was the last game. Yeah, I think that was the last time we got beat at home. It was a horrible night. I do remember after the game, Laura and I were talking about this 2 years ago, almost to the day. We were on for the Livingston 0-0 game, post Dubai and all this kind of stuff, and how things had changed, and that led us on to the Ange Postecoglou conversation that we had, and the fact that. You know, Anne just touched on how to change a culture or how to implement a culture, and it's about the people within that workplace. But Callum McGregor, like you say there, we don't know, because a manager could come along who doesn't want him. I mean, stranger things have happened. We got Tony Mowbray took over at Celtic, and the two centre-halves at that time was his captain, Stephen McManus, and Scotland's then player of the year, Gary Caldwell. And Tony Mowbray didn't fancy either of the two of them. And, you know, the rest, as I say, is history. So you just never know. A new manager might come in the next 7 years. I'm quite happy with Ange sticking around for seven seasons, but it's unlikely to happen. And then the whole thing could be up in the air, JP. So you're spot on. But in terms of the last five seasons, if McGregor continues to do that until he's 36, wow, we shall see. And hopefully we can talk about it. I don't know, you know, what the technology is going to be like in 7 years and how we're going to transmit and broadcast. We might be holograms in people's living rooms. I don't know.
I was just about to say that there'll be a hologram created of both of us and we just pre-record it or something like that.
Absolutely. I'm sitting in the corner there in a seat. Brilliant. We digress slightly, but there is a jersey over your shoulder. And interestingly enough, it was Callum McGregor's version of that shirt, match worn, that ended up in the Celtic book just above your jersey. Remember the stick that shirt was getting when it was first released about the silver stripes on the shoulders and all that? And it seems to have developed into something of a favourite. It's a classy-looking jersey.
I think for some reason last night when Aaron Moy was taking a corner near me, I kind of looked at the colour of green and I thought, I really like that colour of green on a Celtic top. Because obviously, as you can see, the green on the strip behind you, that's a far lighter green. I know the lighting in the studio is...
No great.
Yeah.
That's what I also love that about it, right? So there's your Umbro numbers. It's kind of velvety, you know, all of their time. I love all that kind of stuff. I'm an absolute jersey pervert, and I don't mind saying that, right? But yeah, that's a jersey that the reason I brought up the kits is I remember back in the day, this was a long time ago, there was somebody on the old Kerrydale Street forum who had come across a number of full sets of Celtic kits, right? And they had been worn by the youth teams. I don't know if he was a coach or whatever, but anyway, he was entrusted to find a home
And I hope they've been washed. I hope they've been washed. Can you imagine how bogging a bag of kits that had they been washed, they'd been left?
But there's even a smell, though, JP, when they have been washed, there is still, you know, residual aromas about these things, right? So they were still a bit stinking.
Malgex.
Exactly, aye, all that stuff. And anyway, I looked at it, and at the time I was doing a bit of community work, and I thought to myself, one of the local football teams would love these jerseys. So I contacted the guy. I think he had like four or five full sets of kits that were no longer being used, right? And so I contacted him. I went through and picked him up, spoke to the fella many years later at a Celtic Graves event, and he remembered it. Anyway, I get the kit, take it home in the boot of the motor, take it home, and I managed to give it to a community side that was run by Scott Brown's dad, believe it or not. Scott Brown's dad was involved anyway. Anyway, we got the jerseys to Scott Brown's dad. And they were, bizarrely enough, they were the same jerseys as the one you see Callum McGregor wearing where he's just a wee guy. Remember, he's just a wee skinny bear. Yeah. And he's running about, and the sponsor is Phoenix something. I don't know if it's Phoenix Kia or Phoenix Honda or something. Mm-hmm. And that's the sponsor. And he's just this wee guy running about. And I'm thinking to myself, obviously they wore those jerseys for just one season. In that bag could have been Callum's jersey. Wow. Full kit, shorts, the works, and I gave them away at the time. I wasn't to know that McGregor would become a bona fide modern-day legend. Last night, you know, he thought he'd broke his nose, JP. So even when he's injured, he soldiers on. And obviously, you know, you were thinking the worst for a moment or two where he went down. But unless it's impossible for him to play on, he's going to be on that pitch. He's an absolute warrior. And, you know, he's somebody that I think everybody in that dressing room must look up to.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think I read Postecoglou's comments this morning where he said even if he had broke his nose, he'd have still rocked up for training this morning before anybody else. So, I mean, there was a bit of concern when you see Cal McGregor going down like that and staying down. You kind of think to yourself, what's wrong? How bad is it? Is this an ominous thing for the rest of the season? Are we going to be relying on Tomoki Iwata to come in and play the next 3 months of football or whatever? Because that's where your thoughts go to. Whenever somebody goes down like that, and then they stay down, initially you're thinking, right, how are we going to cope with this player's absence? And to be fair, we did it earlier on this season. Wait a minute. Did we do it earlier on this season?
Yeah, O'Reilly.
I was trying to think if that was actually last season, but it was this season. So I mean, we have coped with his absence before, but like anything, he's one of the first names in the team. Well, he is the first name in the team sheet. He's the captain. Mm-hmm. So to lose somebody of that level, people could say, oh, well, we've not got Europe or anything like that, but we've got a cup final to come, and we've got possibly we could cope without him for the rest of the season if, God forbid, something was to happen to him. But you just don't want to see that cog come out of the machine that is the Celtic midfield, because he is the one that makes it tick. He's the one that makes other players play better. I would argue that Aaron Moy wouldn't be able to put in the performances that he's able to put in without Callum McGregor alongside him. And I think Moy would attest to that as well. Mm-hmm. It's just the same way as I think Starfelt gets a rough ride at the back because everybody just thinks Carter Vickers is the one and only defender. Starfelt defends well as well. Okay, last night, as soon as that happened last night when he stumbled and he tried to clear, now was he shoved? Because I've not seen it back. Was he shoved at all?
Potentially. There's an argument that he was, JP.
Right, well, because it looked like he was trying to hook it over his shoulder and battle up the park, and then he stumbles and falls. Livingston player gets beyond him and rattles it off the post. I turned to the guys behind me and said, oh, that'll be Starfelt crap again. That, you know, that's him. He'll anybody that had allowed themselves to get towards some level of praise for Starfelt, he'll have immediately just gone back down, and that's him. He's a bomb scare and a liability. And Hugh Keevans would probably be sitting there rubbing his hands at the fact that Starfelt's made a mistake so he can justify his theory that he's mm-hmm. You know, a worry at the back, whereas he's not to me. And I think that when you have somebody like Callum McGregor in the midfield, it brings out the best and it allows the best for guys like Hatate and O'Reilly and Moy. I thought O'Reilly was off the pace last night again. Most of the people around about me were expecting him to get hooked at half time, but probably wasn't fair to quite do that to him. But it's just one of those times in a player's season or a player's career where they're not hitting the heights that they know they're capable of and we know they're capable of. But there was a comment behind me that said, he's crap or something like that. And I'm like, come on, he's definitely not that. I mean, there's no way you could genuinely say under oath or under a lie detector test that you think that Matt O'Reilly is not a good player.
Exactly.
He is a good player.
Look at his ball for Kyogo's goal.
I know. Other players have hit bad patches in form. Hatate's had poor games. Doesn't make Hatate a poor player. Kyogo's had poor games. Doesn't make Kyogo a poor player. By the way, Kyogo's finish last night was delightful.
It was deadly. I mean, the pass, talking about O'Reilly, yeah. You know, if you've got a player that might just be a wee bit off form, JP, right? But they can still pull that out, these bag of tricks. I mean, what a through ball that was by Matt O'Reilly. It was incredible, right? And it wasn't just a big hopeful punt up the park. He picked out Kyogo brilliantly. And as you say, the finish was just as we've come to expect. Laura's got a theory that Kyogo's an instinct player. And I get what she means. I remember Dalglish, and I'm not comparing the two. Dalglish spoke about that. He says, you know, the less time he's got to think about it, the easier it is. The minute you've got to think about something, then you might make a mistake. I'm going to bring this up because you will have seen it. Jim Davidson, welcome to the show, Jim. At the game last night, the two big talking points, Varchek on the Kyogo goal and the march of the stewards. And Danielle comes in to talk about the stewards. Jim, what were they doing? I heard it was to stop young boys running on the park. Seemed a bit OTT to me, JP.
Very much so. They all started piling in and Sean behind me goes, they always do this. And I was like, there's never as many stewards as that. And that is...
Mobile phone companies say they offer home internet. But if their internet comes from a cell phone network, you should know. It's just phone internet, not home internet. Keep your home up to speed with Cox. Cox internet is faster and has more reliable download speeds than 5G home internet. Cox is the real home internet you're looking for. Based on Cox analysis of Ookla speed test intelligence data, Q3 2022, and Cox serviceable areas, visit cox.com/internet for details.
It's the Marketer's Report. This week, Patrizia Spagnoletto, Global Chief Marketing Officer, Direct to Consumer for Warner Brothers Discovery, weighs in on the difficult task of building and retaining consumer trust.
Trust is a really hard thing to build and a really easy thing to destroy, and we have to be very respectful about that. Our partnership with iHeart has really helped us build that trust and that relationship with the on-air talent. The best thing for us to do is to build a relationship with our consumers. And if those consumers have a relationship with the DJs that are on air, then we want to build on that. House of the Dragon, which was one of our most successful, if not the most successful campaign we've ever done for a show, audio was a core part of that.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. Not just a media company, iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
That's a hell of a lot of money to be spending on stewards. Like, I don't know if they just rounded them all up from all around the stadium and then brought them on to be trackside. Actually, there was too many of them. They came towards my bit of the north stand, and then the head steward kind of went, oh, wait, there's too many of us. And then they all had to start walking back to find space further around the pitch. And you're just like, I said to somebody, maybe it was a training exercise or something.
That crossed my mind, JP. It did cross my mind.
There's no way that that's going to happen at the next home game, because it just seems absurd. There's not that much threat from people running on the park. I mean, I've seen it happen a couple of times in recent games where you've maybe got one wee guy's got on the park or whatever. But it is mainly wee guys. Like, you're talking, what, 9, 10-year-olds or whatever. I don't really get adult males running on the park. I mean, I would certainly hope not anyway. I mean,
doesn't happen very often these days.
Probably shouldn't be going to football games if you can't restrain yourself from running on a pitch to run up to a player to get a selfie and all that. I mean, that's just, I can't even be dealing with that at all. I mean, it's just.
No, it's obviously happened at Ibrox, and it wasn't a selfie that the fella wanted.
No, that's
however, true. However, I think Susan's still talking about your mug here, JP, and it's the one you're drinking from, of course. The best movie of all time. You agree with that, don't you? That is your favourite film.
I mean, in my opinion, I wouldn't want to stand on top of a mountain and say that it is the best movie of all time, and none shall argue. But to me, it's the best film of all time. I've seen it countless times in various different environments. I saw it at the Royal Albert Hall with the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra playing the soundtrack live, so like on a giant screen. It was insane. There's also a place in Austin that shows it on a lake, and it's at night, so there's a giant screen and you can watch it on a rubber ring in a pitch black lake. I mean, that.
By the way, I'm not sure I'd do that. That would freak me out. But, think, that's pretty creative, though.
I think I would do it if I could, just for the patter, just for the sheer to be able to say, "Oh, I saw it in that scenario." So,
You know what? I do love film and TV, right? I love all forms of kind of art, and I think that film is a form of art. But I've not really had much chance to do it for a while, right? Because that book just above your head there took me 7 years to finish, and the intensity of it in the last maybe 18 months was getting to that point where I didn't have time to look at anything. So you know what I started watching not too long ago? The Sopranos. Now, I know it came out in 1998, right? But it took me until Stevie Mullen, who you'll remember from Axon, back in the early days, Stevie was a very popular contributor. That's exactly what I'm working my way through, JP, right now. And your volumes disappeared. Just
still not watched it.
Oh, you're joking.
No.
So Stevie gave me that box set and said, "Paul, you've got to watch this now that you've got one or two nights a week where you can maybe put the feet up." And I've started watching it, and I've watched the first season, and I'm hooked. I'm absolutely hooked on it. Now, I'm not recommending it because everybody probably in the comment section has seen it, except you and I. We're the only two that's never seen it. But I am currently hooked on The Sopranos, loving every minute of it. We like a bit of music, as you might have noticed, and Les Paul Style comes in to say, "I guess the DJ at Celtic Park watches Axon." He played the Verve. Lucky man. I'm calling it a Tiger Timism, but the guy will not get his jotters this time round. It's just, you know, what do you expect, JP, right? When you're going into a game and you've got the Martindale pre-match stuff talking about pound for point and all this nonsensical gibberish, and you've also got Michael Beale calling him Ange Postecoglou lucky. The best way to respond to that is proper tongue-in-cheek, keep your dignity, there you go. I loved a bit of that.
I heard it and I went, I stopped for a second, I went, it's a bit weird they're playing the Verve lucky man, it's a bit of a random tune to play, and then the penny dropped and I had a wee smile to myself. But it was
we've got the print over there on the wall. I should have put it behind us. We've got the lucky man right there. It's green and white as well. There you go. Loads of people coming into the comments. So welcome, everybody. We're about 700 strong at the moment, live on the live stream. Sending short, afternoon troops, afternoon to you, and also Hoopy Thursday all, Johnny Ryan. I'm loving the commentary, Peter Grant. I really am. And I'm thinking that we should maybe ask him to come to one of our live events, JP. I think Peter Grant would be good crack. We've got Tom Boyd this month, obviously Danny next month. 20 tickets left for Danny McGrain. If you want to come along, tickets are underneath this video. But I'm liking Granty. I think he's got enough patter to come along and be pretty entertaining. He would be good, eh? I think
I met him at the Tommy Burns supper at Celtic Park, and that was the first time I'd met him. And he signed my 88 jersey, and it was a big deal because I love Peter Grant at Celtic. Just the remember when he scored against Rangers and he went down on his knees. I mean that's iconic.
It is. It's an amazing picture. The 2-2 game when McAvennie got sent off. But yeah, absolutely. And see, Granty, I'll tell you what, he has aged like a fine wine. He looks brilliant. And if you go back to that centenary year, right, they must have been sharing a wee bottle of peroxide. Guys like him and Tony Shepherd and Chris Morris, McAvaney, Derek White, they all had that kind of wee tint going on in their hair, eh?
It's like the time. The late 80s sort of, almost like kind of flex through your hair. But like, if you remember at the time, I bet you any money, their outfits when they were going out to like Victoria's or whatever nightclub, or Chaos, whatever nightclub they were going to, flecked trousers, leather slip-on shoes with tassels, white socks, maybe a short sleeve shirt, and then like a thin leather tie.
I honestly, I can picture it. Aye. I can picture it. And that, some of the elements are coming back in, you know, with the tasseled shoes and all that kind of stuff. I'm sorry, I'd rather be out of fashion. IH decorating another 3 points closer to the league title. Absolutely. This goes and touches on one of the points you made. No fuss and a comfortable win. Still think O'Reilly looks a bit toothless, though. There's like, you know, and IH decorating is not saying he's not a good player, but there are elements to his game that, you know, I just think that no one's guaranteed a position, maybe other than Callum McGregor at this moment in time in the team. O'Reilly comes in for a game and he needs to do what Aaron Moy did when he came in. Do you think he did that last night? Do you think he nailed his colours to the mast? He's going to get picked against St Johnstone at the weekend? Because it wouldn't surprise me if Moy comes back in.
No, I think Moy will come back in on Sunday. I think that was probably the easier of the two games to give O'Reilly was last night. And I'm sure Ange Postecoglou, in a brutal assessment of O'Reilly's performance last night, will be thinking that he didn't really hit the heights that we know he's capable of. So you could argue we won 3-0 and O'Reilly played the majority of the game, so therefore he's obviously contributed with an assist and effectively played in a side that's won a game and won 3 points and won comfortably. I mean, the first half we were absolutely dominant, as you said last night, and as everyone else has acknowledged. But I think Moy's shown that he's more. I mean, look at his performance at Tannadice last week. It was another masterclass from him, and you know we'll need him on Sunday. Pitch won't be that great on Sunday. It never is. At McDermott Park. And Callum Davidson actually alluded to that last night and said that they were playing on a better pitch at Firth Park last night than they will be on Sunday at their home ground. So,
Yeah. You know, it is unfortunate, and every time it's mentioned on the commentary, they always talk about Hazy the groundsman because he does such a fantastic job, but he's obviously been up against it with regards to the weather and how that's affected the surface as well. But we had a really good discussion the other day about Ange Postecoglou and the way that he deals not only with the media, but with other comments from other managers, his contemporaries, as it were. And it's difficult, I think, to always maintain either a dignified silence or to give a response that doesn't really make you out to be petty yourself. You know, he always comes out looking absolutely class. But what he did do is he was able to do it, but also give both barrels the other day there. And I was really impressed with his response to the fact that we have the biggest budget, we have the biggest fan base, we are the biggest club. Now, that's up there. If you're looking at quotes, I prefer that to We Never Stop. I'd wear a T-shirt with that on it before I wore We Never Stop. I love that. It's just, you know, I've never heard a Celtic manager coming out saying we are the biggest club. And it doesn't come out, as I said this last night, it doesn't sound like triumphalism as we're used to out there in the media, in the Scottish media. What did you make of his riposte to some of the criticisms that have been coming our way, JP?
I loved it, and I echo what Laura said last night. To have somebody that's in charge of the club that values the fact that we, as a Celtic support, put a lot of money into the club. You know, I like to think that, and it's been a source of frustration in the past where I've been shelling out on merch, strips, whatever, plus my season ticket. And then you see money getting frittered away on poor signings.
Yeah, yep.
And you're kind of like, that's my money in a way. And then when the manager comes out and actually acknowledges that it is our money that helps fund a lot of the purchases that we make on players, the wages that we pay to players, it really does chime. It does chime because I've never heard anybody say anything like that or structure a response like that before. And it doesn't feel like he's saying it as birthday card. I'll not say the last word, but you know where I'm going with that. It's not that kind of birthday card rhetoric or patter. It's real. It's from a good place within him, I think. And I think he's like, well, these guys come, guys and girls come week in, week out, pay their money to the club, pay their money on catering and everything else at Celtic Park. So the least we can do is take that money and use it wisely and spend it wisely and not fritter it away so that we know when we're making a signing that player's going to contribute. Now, people will go, oh, well, he's had a few misses in terms of, well, we've cut Jens's loan deal short. We've cut Abelgaard's loan deal short. I'm not too fussed about loan deals. Loan deals are loans for a reason. There's a reason we didn't commit to signing both of those players. So a loan deal failure, if you want to call it that. And I don't think Jens was a failure because he contributed, played all the Champions League games.
Yeah.
I never ever thought that he was going to be here long term, and I said that. Abelgaard, for whatever reason, didn't get a sniff. Couldn't get near that midfield. Whether or not he was fit enough, I don't know. Or his attitude wasn't right, I don't know. But the signings that Ange Postecoglou has spent money on have almost entirely been successful. Mm-hmm. And the people we brought in this window have been covered. I saw something on Twitter just before we came on here. The people we brought in this window have been covered by the Juranovic fee alone.
Yeah.
So that's being very frugal in the transfer market. But also we've brought in quality, and because we've already seen them play throughout the whole last month, pretty much. Maybe not so much Iwata, but we've seen Kobayashi play a couple of times now, looks assured. Johnston looks to have nailed on the starting spot at right back. So and that's just to add to Jota, Carter Vickers, Abada, Kyogo, Maeda. Like, all these guys have been brought in by Ange Postecoglou, and clearly by him and not by some sort of, you know, veiled recommendation by somebody else. He knows that he's putting his name against these signings when they come in, and it's his reputation that's going to be bolstered or hindered by the players that come in.
You're right. Now, there are other managers who, you know, try to push that envelope for no other reason than they want, obviously, to be more successful. But I get that. I totally get it, JP, right? And I'm thinking of the Castagne deal that Celtic were trying to do under Rodgers. He obviously eventually got his man. But there were certain parameters within the transfer market and budgets and what we would pay for a certain player that would have been smashed out the park had we signed Castagne. And, you know, going out and signing £9 million player in Edouard, and by the way, it was worth it. It was absolutely worth it. Do you think at any point Brendan Rodgers had that consideration for where the money's coming from and the fact that these people that are standing in the rain on a Wednesday night are the same people who are funding every single bit of business that we do through season ticket sales, merchandise? It would never have occurred to him, would it?
Well, no, because, I mean, probably not. I think he had his eyes on a return to England. And I think his motivation was to be successful at Celtic at any cost in order to get a good club in England. You can't dress it up or dress it down. I mean, he left as soon as Leicester showed interest. He left and left us high and dry. He'll point to the fact that we were 8 points clear and we were in a semi-final and this, that and the next thing. But the fact is, he still took all his coaching staff and himself and left us in the position where our only option really was to go back to a person who we'd had before and who hadn't really set the managerial world alight in his absence. Mm-hmm. Neil Lennon hadn't done anything to warrant becoming the Celtic manager again after Brendan Rodgers. I mean, and that's no disrespect to Neil Lennon, but you can't just trade on your past glories to then get the job again. We should have been going for someone of a far higher level of manager than that at that time. And ultimately, it was to prove our downfall. I still don't think it's all Neil Lennon's fault, and I'll always say that. I think no COVID, Lennon maybe scrapes 10 in a row, but then who knows what happens after that? Who knows if he's still here? Who knows what's happened at Rangers? Who knows? It's all hypothetical, but I think...
Mobile phone companies say they offer home internet. But if their internet comes from a cell phone network, you should know. It's just phone internet, not home internet. Keep your home up to speed with Cox. Cox internet is faster and has more reliable download speeds than 5G home internet. Cox is the real home internet you're looking for. Based on Cox analysis of Ookla speed test intelligence data, Q3 2022, and Cox serviceable areas, visit cox.com/internet for details.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
There was something I was going to say about... The guy from the chief exec from VVV Venlo said something about Giakoumakis and the price that they expected to get for him. They were like, oh, I think, you know, we were expecting a bit more money, because you look at high profile strikers have left Celtic for more money in the past. And he pointed to Edouard. And I was like, you can't use Edouard as a comparison to Giakoumakis. No. I mean, Edouard was what, 22?
Yeah. Yeah.
We paid $9 million for him. Of course we're gonna get decent money back for him when we're selling him.
Top goal scorer of all time. Underaged level for France. Top goal scorer of all time. You know what I mean? You say, 22 years of age. Still, you know, clubs are buying an Edouard and Dembele before him, thinking to themselves there's still resale value on this player. You know, if he does well down in Crystal Palace and he gets sold in 3 or 4 years, they're going to make money again. So you can't make that comparison. Completely different players at different times of their careers, JP.
And he was saying as well, I don't know why England hasn't come knocking on the door for Giakoumakis, you know, basically expecting him to have made a similar career move to as Edouard. But at 28, knocking on the door at 29, no English club's going to come in and pay $10 million for Giakoumakis. I think that's completely fanciful to think that that would happen.
I think so as well.
His goal scoring record before VVV Venlo wasn't that great. His level of club before that wasn't that great. So his two seasons in the last 2 years have been kind of outliers. So I'd be very, if he does make this move to America, I'd be very interested to see how he does over there in terms of his goal scoring and all that.
No, I agree with you. And I like him, but you're right. He had an excellent season in his final campaign in the Netherlands. He had a brilliant first campaign in Scotland, but he's not kicked on. Now, for whatever reason, season two for him at Celtic, you know, it's not as though we're selling him at the peak time, because Giakoumakis is banging in the goals and the performances have been there. He's struggled to get a game. I was looking at this morning, actually. So, obviously, there was interest from the J-League and from the MLS. Both of those windows are open until April. So the J-League's open until the 2nd of April, with the MLS open right through to the 24th. But we might be in a situation, he's missed four games. The last four games he's missed, JP. What do you do with him? Do you keep him out? Because you don't want him to get injured if you want, obviously, to sell him on. Have we seen the last of him in a Celtic jersey, even if this was to roll on for a month? I don't want it to, obviously.
I mean, who even knows where he is right now? I mean, is he in the country? Is he in America? I wouldn't have thought it likely that he'll play again for Celtic. I can't see how Postecoglou could possibly preach what he preaches and then bring him back into the fold on such a short-term basis, because he's clearly going to move in the next wee while. I don't think Giakoumakis will be here at the end of the season. I'd be very, very surprised if he was. Mm-hmm. So I don't know where there is room for him to come back in now that you've got in the mix and coming on and getting game time. I just don't see it, but stranger things have happened. We're playing at McDermott Park on Sunday, and he did all right the last time.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. He did.
I'm
just thinking Bolingoli. You know, we never ever thought he'd appear again in a Celtic jersey, but Postecoglou gave him two games last season, which is bizarre. Anyway, I do think it would be wrapped up before April, but the windows are open until such times. And I think when you're looking at the J-League, that's also something, a point to point out, is that Ediguchi might be moving between now and then as well. So there's a couple of guys still on the door that might still leave beyond the January transfer window. Kevin Graham's in on the comments section. Always a pleasure, Kev. You're sitting there with your Stanyard T-shirt on at PJ Malloy's. Kevin Graham, poet. I wasn't on the post-match, so how could it be negative? Good point. Good point. I don't think you're negative either, Kevin. You're just too long in the tooth. That's all it is. Until Ange takes us to a European final, this is the point I was trying to get to, then Martin is the top man for me. Now, listen, by the way, I don't think it's beyond us. I keep saying it. I mean, Europa League final? Do you think so? At some point, JP? You think it's possible for Celtic under Ange to do that?
I mean, from a selfish point of view, I would love to think that it is possible, because I would love to not have only one experience of a European final in my lifetime, which currently, as things stand, that is the case. I mean, there's people that I speak to who are a lot younger than me that, and I tell them that I was in Seville, their eyes kind of like pop a bit, because I think they, from following Celtic in recent years, and maybe things like the euphoria of Lazio away, winning against Lazio, I guess just like other victories at Celtic Park against European opposition, to imagine what that must have been. I mean, I've got the memory in my head of what Seville was like, and obviously it ended in utter despair. But every other aspect of that whole journey, the games that led up to the final, and then the travel on the day, the build up to the game itself, seeing Henrik Larsson score twice in a European final, and cementing himself as someone who was as good as we believed him to be. Mm-hmm. So that whole experience was incredible for me, and I would genuinely love folk that are half my age, as long as they're not singing that stupid ABBA song, I'd love them to experience it as well. I wouldn't want to be like, "Oh, check me, I was at a European final and yous will never experience that." I want them to experience that. Mm-hmm. I want them to be a Celtic supporter and know what it's like, what that buzz is like. And if we were to get there, to go one better and win the thing, because I can only imagine. I would not have made it home from Seville that night if we'd won that trophy. I really doubt it. I don't know what would have happened, but
You wouldn't be making the Thursday bulletin, would you?
No, definitely not. I wouldn't have made that bus back to Malaga, that's for sure. Someone would have persuaded me to stay in Seville, and I'd have been there for a while.
Well, I kind of look at it, JP. In my lifetime, I'd like to experience that as well, but with my wee boy. So I don't know how long I'm going to be fit enough to go to the football, but let's say 30 years, 35 years. So you're kind of hoping that in that period we will reach a European final and I can take the wee fella along as well. Now, JP, one thing that I do look at when you're on the show is ex-Celts who were born on this day. And the ex-Celt who was born on this day, and it was in 1992, was Nadir Chiefchi. Remember him? He's a player that is very relevant to a transfer that just happened in January there, because Harry Suter signed for Leicester. Undisclosed, apparently, an inverted commas fee, but in the region of 15 million quid or something like that, maybe even more. And he's a player that, although he didn't play a first team game under Jackie McNamara at Dundee United, he was a player that Jackie brought in when he was a youth at Dundee United. And I keep going on about all the players that we Jackie found and brought in, and not just at Dundee United, but at Partick Thistle. He was a real talent spotter, was Jackie. And he really developed players. We all know the obvious ones like Ryan Gold and Stuart Armstrong, but there's loads of them if you actually look at his records. A real loss, I feel, to Scottish youth football is Jackie McNamara and development. I'd have him in at Lennox Town any day of the week, not just because an old boys act. But one player he made money off was definitely Chiefchi. And he was born on this day.
Talk about underwhelming signings.
Was it 1.5 million under Ronnie?
Didn't want him anywhere near Celtic. I was never enamoured with that signing, mainly because of the biting thing. I don't like Luis Suarez because of that. I think it's a weird thing to do. And then Chiefchi did it as well. And I just thought, why are we getting this guy? I never for a second thought he would be a success at Celtic, and it turned out he wasn't. So.
See, the biting thing that you're referring to, is it the one that he did with Izaguirre at training?
No, it was when he was still at Dundee United, because it had happened at Dundee United and there had been a lot of controversy about it.
And
I can't remember who it was against, but that was the one thing for me that I was very opposed to his signing, because I just thought, well, I can't say that I like Suarez. I can't say that I like Chiefchi if I'm so anti-Suarez for doing the exact same thing. I just think it's just a weird thing to do, bite somebody. Like,
I know. It's like spitting. How does that come to your mind as a reaction when you're dealing with a situation, I'm going to bite someone or spit on them?
Anybody that spat at somebody, regardless of who they are, I think that's a really disgusting thing to do and shameful, and it would really taint my opinion of a player if I know it's never going to be Kyogo, would never spit at somebody, but if Kyogo spat at somebody, it would definitely taint my image of him. I wouldn't just
Mark Viduka. Remember Viduka done it at East End Park?
And probably, there was many other things that tainted my opinion of Mark Viduka other than spitting on somebody. His attitude, for one, and I think Mark Viduka obviously had issues off the park. There's no doubt about that. I mean, I think that's maybe even been well documented by him in interviews. Thank God that noise has stopped, by the way. It was like...
We'll just go for another hour. It's fine.
It was absolute torture in my ears. It was obviously...
Your mic wasn't really picking it up too much, to be fair.
That's good. Just was expecting a barrage of comments from people saying, what the hell's going on in JP's world?
But you're right about Viduka. Since his departure, I'm always disappointed that he doesn't really speak about Celtic. I've kind of listened to a few deep dives into his career, and Celtic's almost an afterthought or a footnote in his career, in his mind. And when you're talking about, like you say, Chiefchi, and we moved on to Viduka, there is a point to all this, because in 1992, on this day when Chiefchi was born, the band who topped the UK charts were Shakespeare's Sister with the song Stay. I love that song. I loved it, and I loved it even more when I found out that Shakespeare's Sister had supported Prince at Celtic Park in 1992. And Siobhan Fahey, I think that's how you pronounce her surname, used to attend Celtic Park as a child, because her father was a big Hoops fan. So that was one of her proudest moments, where she walked out onto that stage at Celtic Park, JP, the lead singer at Shakespeare's Sister.
That was a Love Sexy tour.
That's
and,
right.
I think he had like a bed as a stage prop that he got lowered onto the stage in. I absolutely loved to have seen that gig. Especially, I mean, I guess at that time... at that time I was a big Prince fan, because I got into Prince because he did the Batman soundtrack for the 89 Michael Keaton Batman, the best Batman, I will always argue, better than The Dark Knight, better than any of the modern stuff.
We need an entire show to discuss this.
The original Batman is the best Batman. Jack Nicholson is the Joker. Kim Basinger is Vicky Vale.
You're not having George Clooney, no? You're not having the boy Clooney. You're not having it, all right.
No, I do like Christian Bale as Batman. I'll have to say that because I love Christian Bale, but no, Keaton's Batman is the best. And but seeing Prince at Celtic Park would have been. I mean, if you were to fast forward to like, I don't know, the mid noughties or something, and say that Prince was playing at Celtic Park, I think my head would have come off its shoulders with excitement because, I mean, I love Prince far more now than I did when I was 12. You know, I was probably just into the Batman soundtrack, whereas now I've seen him live 4 times in that time period since 1992. So if he was to play at Celtic Park now, but I've heard that they can't do gigs at Celtic Park because there's not enough access to get the trucks in to set up the stadium. There's not, like, if you think about it, they can't come down the tunnel, and the two doors at either side, I don't think the truck, like the sort of stage trucks, are big enough to actually get in. So if you think about it, it'd be an absolute nightmare to try
often
and set
wondered
up,
that.
Often set up a sort of production. Because the sort of production that would go into a show at Celtic Park would be on the level of, you know, headlining a stadium. So it's not just going to be, you know, a couple of PA stacks and maybe like a screen. It's going to be all the bells and whistles that you see at a giant gig. So until they figure that one out, I don't know. I don't really know what they're going to do.
Until we redevelop the main stand, it's going to be an issue. Now, the thing is, I love that song by Shakespeare's Sister. I love the fact that I later found out she was a big Hoops fan, but she was also a member of Bananarama. And Bobby Bluebell wrote a song for them called Young at Heart, which Bananarama actually recorded. It's on one of their albums, but then it was later re-recorded by the Bluebells. And obviously, Bobby is a big pal of Brian McClure's. Brian McClure was talking about him last Friday, Bobby Bluebell, because I brought up the old shoot spotlight on a footballer, you know, and it used to ask you the daft questions, and McClure always had great delight in giving them even dafter answers. But I'd say to him, you said here in 1984, Chalky, that your best friend outside the football, the most famous person that you know outside the football, was Bobby Bluebell. He goes, aye, that's true. Never met him since I said that, though. So he hasn't seen him in the best part of 40 years. But that's Chalky for you. And that's Shakespeare's Sister at Celtic Park in 1992. On this day, when Nadia Chifty was born, they were number one in the UK charts. JP, yeah, we will get back to the Batman episode. We'll do that at some point in the near future, I hope. Thanks, everybody, for getting involved in the comments. It's always an absolute pleasure to see the names and the faces popping up on the comments section. If you're watching on YouTube, remember to subscribe to the channel. We are working on more content as the year progresses. We're in February already. Like the video, give us a big thumbs up. And if you want to come and see us live, we are with Danny McGrain in March. And I'm now liking the idea of bringing Peter Grant to Glasgow as well. So I might get Granty involved at some point. 20 tickets available. Click on the link underneath this video. All that's left for me to say, JP Mason, thank you again for joining me on A Celtic State of Mind.
Yes, Paul.
Mobile phone companies say they offer home internet. But if their internet comes from a cell phone network, you should know. It's just phone internet, not home internet. Keep your home up to speed with Cox. Cox internet is faster and has more reliable download speeds than 5G home internet. Cox is the real home internet you're looking for. Based on Cox analysis of Ookla Speedtest Intelligence data, Q3 2022, and Cox serviceable areas, visit cox.com/internet for details.
It's the Marketer's Report. This week, Patrizia Spagnoletto, Global Chief Marketing Officer, Direct to Consumer for Warner Brothers Discovery, weighs in on the difficult task of building and retaining consumer trust.
Trust is a really hard thing to build and a really easy thing to destroy, and we have to be very respectful about that. Our partnership with iHeart has really helped us build that trust and that relationship with the on-air talent. The best thing for us to do is to build a relationship with our consumers. And if those consumers have a relationship with the DJs that are on air, then we want to build on that. House of the Dragon, which was one of our most successful, if not the most successful campaign we've ever done for a show, audio was a core part of that.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. Not just a media company, iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network.
At Discount Tire, we know your time is valuable. Get 30% shorter average wait time when you buy and book online. Did you know Discount Tire now sells wiper blades? Check out our current deals at DiscountTire.com or stop in and talk to an associate today. Discount Tire.
Let's get you taken care of.
Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.